97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hope you're all well. Kurt Helin will join us here momentarily as we get you ready for NBC or from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. In fact, Kurt's with us right now. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How's it going?
We're doing great. By the way, so Hans and I, we were talking about this earlier in the show. It's our job and we watch Jazz games and we don't complain at all, but when you're playing the Houston Rockets, it's not fun basketball. I mean, it's that is a really bad situation there in Houston right now.
And you can see it's gotten to them mentally. If you watch,
yeah.
I watched a little bit of them last night too. It's. I mean, there's some decent players on that. Tate's going to make all rookie. Like, he's actually a good player. And you know, they've got Wall. They've got talented guys there, and Christian Wood hasn't bounced back the way he was playing pre-injury, but they're now kind of the anti-Jazz. They're actually like worse than the sum of their parts. They're just, it's just come off the rails there. And it's the off season before they fix this. And yeah, you're right. They're actually, it's just hard to watch, and they might actually still be better than the Thunder. Like, if that game comes on, I don't recommend like buying that one off of Big Test.
This whole thing is crazy, though, Kurt, watching the race in the West, because I see the Jazz win, and then they'll win again, and then they'll win the third night. I'm like, oh, surely they're extending their lead. Oh, yeah. Wait, there's the Suns. They just beat Philly. Oh, there's the Suns. They just beat Boston. There's the Clippers. They continue to win. The Suns with another big win on this five-game road trip that they just started the other night. I want you to talk about Phoenix. Are people starting to take them serious?
I think so. I think people are starting to realize, and you can, hey, that was a 76ers team that didn't have Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris playing, but they've still got Joel Embiid. That is a team that is still finding ways to win, Phoenix nightly. And I think people are starting to realize that this isn't just some fluke. You know, it's not just the 8-0 bubble team. That this is, with Chris Paul, a legitimate playoff threat. This is a team that, I've said that I think they're going to learn some hard lessons in the postseason just because they haven't been there before, and it's still a learning process. But this is still a really good team that is balanced now, right? Is getting good play from the wings. DeAndre Ayton is evolved into a good quality two-way player and a double-double machine. And they just play smart basketball. They play within themselves. They play, they added Chris Paul to a, I'm going to forget the phrase Monty Williams uses off the top of my head, but this kind of five-man out, everybody moves the ball, Spursian system. And then they added Chris Paul to that. And you thought it could tear them apart, but instead it's actually kind of made them that much better, because they have a guy who can just get a bucket or run some pick and roll and beat you that way, but they can kind of go back to playing their system as well. It's sort of like Utah can, where they've got the system, but if they need to, Donovan or Conley can kind of break you down. It's a good team. We'll see how it goes in the playoffs, but this is a team kind of, you can feel them built for the long term if they can hold on to Chris Paul.
Joe Ingles has been so good over the last month or so. Could he challenge his own teammate for sixth man of the year?
He could get in that mix. It's not, I think we talked about this last week. It's not a runaway anymore. At the midway point of the season, you're like, and it's Jordan Clarkson and everyone else. And Jordan may still win this, but I think that Joe Ingles has been so good, and he's got to be in the conversation. And it's opened the door for the Jalen Brunsons and just the other guys around the league who are good sixth men of the year it's not the runaway it felt like earlier. And Ingles has been critical. I mean, just a big part of everything that's going right for you guys. He's just making plays every night, and part of that, just it's tough to play against Utah. It's just tough to breathe. Hey, we're bringing out another round of guys who can just drill threes all night long. It's tough to beat a team like that.
In your opinion, Kurt, are the Utah Jazz built for postseason basketball?
Yes. What they lack, and I think we've talked about this, what they lack, with all due respect to Donovan, is a guy who's a proven elite championship level star in the LeBron, Kawhi, Steph, Durant kind of guy who just erases mistakes, who just at the end of the day, if the bench is having a rough shooting night from three, it doesn't matter because this guy can change everything. It's a little more of an ensemble win. It's the advantage to having a nine deep roster is that you can, so Joe Ingles has will have an off night at some point, right? But there's other guys can step in and fill the role, or you can get the matchups you want. I just feel like the margin for error is less, but they are absolutely the versatility and the way they play and the fact that they defend so well makes them a legitimate playoff threat. This is a legitimate contender team. Like I said, I think that just what having a Kawhi Leonard on the roster does is give you a margin for error some nights.
You know, the one thing that I think has really been working out in the, there's just some years where things kind of go your way. And even when you have an injury to Donovan Mitchell, you're not playing a ton of games in a short amount of time. You're going to play, last night they had Houston. They've got back-to-back games against the Timberwolves. Then they've got Sacramento coming up. They do have Phoenix coming up here in a bit, but they've got about a 10-day stretch where they're not playing a ton of games. The games they're playing are against lesser opponents. Things just kind of lined up pretty well for this situation.
Yeah, sometimes it's just when you catch teams, right? There's points in the season where we talk about Houston and not playing well. There were stretches of the season when they were playing well, when things kind of did click for them earlier in the season, when John Wall was on and nobody kind of discovered Tate yet and Christian Wood was fully healthy and they were a much tougher out. And that's true of, you catch the Lakers now versus where you would have caught them when they had LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's kind of a different team. And that's true with Brooklyn and it's true with, a lot of it. So sometimes this year more than ever, there's always some randomness in the schedule that way. But it tends to balance out. This year, it's just even more so because there's so many top guys injured and the schedule is so condensed that it really does. It just does matter when you catch teams, and the strength of schedule seems more varied than most years, where I feel like it just kind of works itself out most years. This year, it's definitely, if you catch Atlanta now over the next, hopefully not that long, but if you catch Atlanta over the next few weeks without Trae Young, they're not a very good offensive team without Trae Young. Like it changes everything.
Curious to get your thoughts on where Denver is headed right now. Are we just kind of seeing like a fake front with this 4-game win streak, including beating Portland last night in a very important game on the road? Is this all just a false front, or is there a way that Denver does carry without Jamal Murray?
I don't think it's a complete false front because I think this is still a very good team. This is still got the guy who's probably going to win MVP as the hub of their offense. And Jokic has got guys around him who can hit shots and cut. And, Aaron Gordon can make plays, and there's Michael Porter Jr. is going to make a lot of plays. And so this isn't it's just not some random fluky thing. I just think that you get to the second round of the playoffs when it's going to be, I still think that the final four in the West will be Utah, the two Los Angeles teams, and let's say Denver gets through. Well, we'll see how it goes. Phoenix will be in there. But if Denver got through or they go up against the Lakers or something in the first round, if it's 4-5 Lakers, Denver, well, that's when you miss Jamal Murray. That's when you have to have that two-man game and that guy who can create from the perimeter like that, and they just don't have anybody who can. Austin Rivers is not going to fill that gap for them. There's a little bit of a step down there, and that's where you're going to miss it. It's going to be in the playoffs in the postseason, but they are still a good, disciplined team that's well-coached, and they're still going to win a lot of regular season games. I don't think they're going to give up their playoff seeding.
How concerned should Brooklyn be over over James Harden?
Yeah, pretty concerned, right?
Yeah.
You guys know with hamstrings, and this is obviously true with, a running back in football or any position, that's the hard, it's hamstrings and groins where you think you're okay, right? You think, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel when I walk. I don't feel it with a light jog. And you're trying to get back, and you start to push it a little bit, and it's just not ready for that kind of explosive movement, and then you have the big setback. nobody, you never know. And Harden's a guy who plays through a lot, but I don't know if we're going to see him until the playoffs. And I don't, I mean, how healthy are they going to be now? Kyrie Irving can't carry this team through the postseason. It's, they need Kevin Durant and James Harden to be close to 100%. And then, much like with LeBron and the Lakers now, it's fair to ask if they're going to get that. If they don't have that, then can they beat Philadelphia or Milwaukee? I literally don't know the answer to that. I think that's part of the fun of the West, but I think it's legitimately time to be concerned about both how healthy they can be in Brooklyn, and also now they've played seven games, and I think it's 186 minutes total all season with those guys on the court. Like, not much time with all those guys on the court together. And what's it going to be like in crunch time? Right, like you get down to the final 5 minutes of a close game. Are they going to continue to hunt mismatches, or is it going to get a little bit your turn then my turn? And are they going to? We just haven't seen it, and I don't know that they've worked all that out yet because they haven't been in that position.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about LeBron James, just his health, but I also wanted to get your thoughts on the tweet that he put out and then deleted. Sure. Is there going to be any fallout from there? He must have received some pretty negative attention for him to take that down.
Yeah, exactly. LeBron's not a guy who backs off of those kind of social justice type of, you know, whatever you think of the tweet. Like, he's not a guy who backs off of that kind of stuff. And I think he realized that, you know, different situation and different, it wasn't playing well. I don't know that there's going to be any fallout from the tweet. I don't think that this, because he took it down and put something up, I don't think there's going to be some punishment from the league or anything. I doubt him. I don't think sponsors are going to backlash against him over this one. But it didn't play well. I think that he realizes that and put it. That's why it came down. And we'll see if anything else comes of it. The health wise, I'm hearing weeks and. Again, what's there, a month left in the season? And if it's 2 to 3 weeks, I mean, yeah, he'll be back for the postseason. But, again, I think we've talked about this. Those high ankle sprains are not totally unlike groins and hamstrings in the sense that – or an ACL or something else in the sense that you don't fully trust it. You can't quite get the same explosion off of it when you come back sometimes. And so as much as we like to kind of think of LeBron as almost superhuman, like if he's not completely 100%, where are the Lakers? Like they need him to be that guy for them to be. This is a top heavy roster, man. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. And then it drops way off a cliff when you get down to KCP and then, you know, Caldwell Pope and Schroeder and whoever you think the fourth best player is on that team. They have to have him at 100% and really functioning for them to have a chance. And I don't know if he's going to be that guy. I don't know. And I don't know that they know right now.
You know, there's sometimes voter fatigue. I know voters don't like to vote for the same guy year in and year out. And that's why, you know, Michael Jordan didn't win, you know, 15 consecutive MVP awards because he was certainly capable and earning, you know, and probably worthy of it. But Rudy Gobert statistically is having his best defensive year as an NBA player. Do you think that he is the front runner for defensive player of the year, or could there be a little bit of a voter fatigue with him?
I don't think there's voter fatigue with him. He didn't win it last year, obviously. That went to Giannis.
Yeah, yep.
And I don't think so. I think that he's been so good and Utah's been so good. And they're, my sense talking to people, and I've just started, you know, with a month ago, I've started to do my research, and when I reached out to a couple of people about defensive player of the year, one of them got back to me like, well, you're not voting for Rudy automatically? Like, you realize how good he's been, right? I'm like, I know. I'm doing my due diligence, and besides, I gotta pick three guys. So I think he is a pretty clear front runner. I don't think anybody else can put together defense is one of those where availability matters. Like, I think you can make a case for what Joel Embiid does defensively in Philadelphia, but this comes back to his problems winning MVP, where he's been out 18 games and played you know, considerably fewer minutes than Rudy, considerably fewer minutes than in the MVP race than Jokic, and that gets him in. It hurts the case. You can't defend for your team if you're not on the floor, right? And so that's where I think the guys who are close. I don't think Giannis is going to get it, and I don't think there's anybody else quite on Rudy's tier right now. I think he wins. I think he wins pretty comfortably.
Well, hey, always fun to catch up with you. We appreciate it as always, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Kurt Hedlund, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. What you just tweeted out, I think, is illegal in 15 states, including Puerto Rico.
That's pretty rough, man. That's a hard hit. That's just a quick zero pull trap. That's just a guard that's scraping across the backside of a center. Or is that a tackle?
Hold on. Let me see it again.
Yeah, that's a guard.
Yeah.
That's a guard on a zero trap. Just, oh, man. Just devastating a defensive end. These types of pulls are really fun when the defensive end thinks he's got a direct shot on a running back, but then there's this guard that's in perfect pad placement and pad level. At 975 Hance, you can go check out a
But
a
come
fun
on, pulls are fun.
Video. That pull is fun.
Pulls are a lot of fun, Jake.
So I was a freshman, and I was playing
Never heard it used that way. But
I know.
You're right, Jake.
It works.
Polling is fun.
It works. So I was on scout team as a freshman in high school. And they had me at defensive tackle working against the varsity.
Yeah.
And we were playing against a team that had a really, really aggressive, active defensive tackle. I was supposed to be that guy.
Okay.
And so much so that when he would see a guy pull, he would follow him because he knew that's where the play was going.
Get in the pocket.
So we had a play that was set up for a run to where you'd pull the tackle and then run because they knew that guy would follow him.
Yeah, so they come in.
Yeah, and so
go in the gap that was vacated.
And so here I am, and look, you know, your meat squad getting beat up by seniors, and it's no fun. And so, anyway, they didn't tell us about the play or anything like that. I see this tackle pull, and I'm like, oh, finally, I don't get to get hit this series. And then I see the running back come in, and I make the tackle, and I'm like getting up like, yeah, who's your guy? The coach comes over and just screams at me, yells at me, it's your job to be that guy. He always follows the pull. I'm like, all right, whatever. So they run.
You got yelled at for making a good tackle.
For making the tackle. Yeah. I'm like, I made the tackle. What are you talking about? So about four or five plays later, they run the same play again. I make the tackle. I just stand there and make the tackle. Coach is beyond upset now. He's like, all right, you're not paying attention. You don't know what your job is. I'm like, yeah, I just tackled your guy. What are you going to do about it?
I know very well what my job is.
So anyway, a few plays later, boom. Guy pulls again. I'm like, and I see the running back come. I'm like, I'm going to make another tackle. Well, he had his wide receiver come down and do a crack back.
You cracked it.
Yeah, and this, you know, I was still pretty small dude at the time, and this wide receiver just blew me up. And then the coach gets down and screams, "That's what happens when you don't pay attention."
Oh, come on! I wish that because when you're young, you don't have the complete wits about you. But I wish you would have said, "Coach, I just think that there's some functional issues with this play that you've drawn up."
Yeah, that would have gone over well.
Hey, you know, one of the worst times of my life. We were in the fourth quarter in a very close game against Caldwell, and I was just a freshman. Actually, no, I was a sophomore because I was playing up at the varsity, and we're in the fourth quarter. I called a timeout, and I'm like, gosh, because we had looked at this play where they were making an offensive tackle eligible. And they brought that formation to the line, and I wasn't sure if that was the right formation. And I didn't want that play to break off where he was eligible, and I was supposed to have a certain assignment. I called a timeout, and my coach is losing his mind because, you know, you just don't call timeouts, and here's this idiot sophomore. And so we get in the huddle, and my coach, who is a hothead, is storming out to the huddle. And he said, "Why in the living hell would you call a timeout, Olsen?" And I said, "Because, coach, I'm not sure if that guy's edible." And he goes, he looked at me and goes, "No, you cannot eat that man. He is not edible." I was like, oh, man. And then I'm looking at him like, I mean, What's that thing?
What's
where,
the word?
Where
it
he
starts
could
with
catch
an
the
E.
ball. Oh man, I love football.
High school football, man.
High school football's the best. Freshmen are the best.
All right, one more. I did tell you when I got to be a captain, and I was so excited, and we won a coin toss, and they said they wanted us to defer, and I said, no, we'll kick. And they're like, you so, sure?
So that gives, so we that had to gives kick them the ball, twice. The ball in the first half. Yeah. And if you choose to kick, yeah, then you're choosing to.
That's your option to kick. You're not deferring. And I said, yep, we're going to kick. And the ref's like, looks at me. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, that's what.
Really weird decision. Yeah, I'm sure. And then I'll do it again next week.
And the coach goes over, like, the ref goes over to the coach, like, hey, your guy said he wants to kick. So we had to kick off both
coach
halves.
Is like, tell me you deferred, Gerard. Tell me you said defer, oh, Gerard.
And I'm like, no, you said you wanted to kick. No, I said we wanted to defer. Get your. Oh, man, that was bad.
That's
we
want
to kick and we're going to win.
Yeah.
We're going to show them. We'll give them the ball to start both halves.
Oh, it was my first time as a captain, too. I was so excited.
We're going to set the tone defensively, yeah, on both halves.
Oh, yeah. I was not allowed to ever pick what the or what we were going to do ever again.
That's funny.
All right, we're live here at Elite Works. Scotty's hanging out with us once again. And, look, there's a lot of dumb people out there. We all do dumb things. But if you do a dumb thing and have a bad website,
oh,
you can make it right.
You need to make it right. I mean, that would be a horrible decision, much like Hanson Scotty just told yeah, us all about. And we are, I mean, we are the people that fix bad mistakes here. And we've done it for thousands of people, thousands of websites. You need to call in, and we can get that website looking fresh, live, you know, helping you out with your SEO. You can get a CRM. You can get things with so much out there with your website. And we can really promote that to help you and your business, whether you're a restaurant, selling clothes, you know, whatever it is that you do, whether if it's informational only, nonprofit, we have all of those going, you know, under our platform.
For people out there that are wondering, what exactly is Elite Works? It's really simple. If you break it all the way down, it's a web host and a web building software.
Yep. Yep.
And basically, they build and host websites. That's
and
what
and
EliteWorks is.
The best ones out there.
The best ones out there. And that's why they're able to give you a free rebuild.
Yeah.
Because they host your website. So, 844-523-2777. I believe we still have B's tickets.
We do. Okay. I mean, I think we've sold out the month of May for them with this giveaway.
They're
working
they're
on June now.
But call 844-523-2777. The next couple of callers, you're still going to get that family six-pack with your free rebuild just to say thank you for giving us a try. And then new builds, all you got to do is call in. The new builds that call in today, we're going to take one new build, put it in a hat, and pull that from the hat or
yes,
all the new builds and pull it from the hat and give one free new build
yeah,
away today. So if you ever thought about building a website, today is the perfect day to call.
It
844-523-2777.
844-523-2777. Make that phone call right now. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
The transferring and that sort of thing, it's turning into the Wild West. Listen to this tweet from Dick Vitale. Players are informed School X will offer you if you get in the portal. That violates why the rule was put into play.
It's not ideal, and I understand their abuses, but I don't think they overwhelm the freedom individuals should have.
Which they do have. You can transfer wherever. You just couldn't have a scholarship the next year at another
well,
spot.
That, for a lot of people, that makes it very difficult.
Or you could have a scholarship and just not play. You're still going to school.
It's up to coaches to make their programs attractive enough to keep their players.
I think it's another excuse for money to change hands.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network, live here at EliteWorks. Come on by. Actually, just go. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is just go to EliteWorks.com.
Please, if you need a website, whether it's a rebuild, and we do it for free, or a new build, which we're going to be giving out a free new build today, 844-523-2777. Call them now.
All right, time to spin the wheel. Sports Roulette, again, brought to you by Davis Vision Center. You get $1,000 off. LASIK, I've had it done. My wife has had it done. Amanda Olson's had it done, all right, at Davis Vision Center. You can have it done as well. $1,000 off. All you have to do is call 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Or go online at davisvisionmd.com. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
This can't be real.
Well, I'm happy for Nick Raimondo, man. And I'm happy to see that there's something positive finally happening for Real. And this happened yesterday while we had Trey Fitzgerald on the phone, by the way. He said, I'm excited to join the RSL Academy staff to help develop and mentor these young men. Every player has their own journey, and I'm looking forward to using my experience to guide and help them reach their goals. RSL has been a big part of my life on and off the field. After taking some time off and seeing the direction of the club, I'm thrilled to join RSL in an ambassador role. I'm excited to bring that buzz back to RSL Nation and to connect with our fans and build a strong relationship with all our community. So that's a statement from Nick Raimondo in his return to RSL. He's very needed right now. There needs to be some stability.
Certainly does, and there certainly needs to be a little bit of a just kind of a grounding force, just kind of a, you know, that you bring in guys that have been part of the culture, part of the winning there for a long time, and having that kind of presence, even though they're not out on the field, but a guy who's been there and done that means a lot to an organization, and that filters down to the players, and I got to imagine that's a good get for RSL, and a good get for Nick Raimondo, too, because, you know, he doesn't have a lot going on, you know. It's got to be tough for an athlete when they walk away from a sport that's been their life for their entire life. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I know that you transitioned into radio, but it couldn't have been easy that first fall or that first season out of football when you feel like, okay, I need to be getting ready for this, and it's not there anymore.
I was so glad to have something, and I was glad that I got to make the decision to leave football and left on my terms, which doesn't happen
very often.
Doesn't happen a lot. But I did. I still missed it. But it was nice to have a team and to be on the radio and talking about football. But, Scotty, there are athletes that go – they just sink into a deep depression, horrible depression, not being able to express themselves, not feeling valuable, feeling like their life is maxed out to that point. Think about it. It's going to be very difficult for me to ever hit the revenue and interest that I had – when I was 24, 25, $380,000, $420,000 contract. You know, those numbers are hard to hit. Very difficult. And so a lot of times you just max out there in your mid-20s, early 30s, and it's tough to find that type of excitement again in your life. But hopefully this is it for Raimondo.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
I appreciate these comments.
So, Scotty, yesterday I told you that the family of George Floyd had made a comment in regard to the Davis family release on the Vegas Raiders Twitter page, I Can Breathe.
Yeah.
This is the official quote that came from the family, because I couldn't find it yesterday. On behalf of our family, I'd like to extend our deepest gratitude to the Las Vegas Raiders organization and its leadership for their support of our family and for our nation's ongoing pursuit of justice and equality for all. Now more than ever, we must come together as one and continue on this fight. For the first time in almost a year, our family has taken a breath. And I know that goes for so many across the nation and globe as well. Let's take this breath together in honor of my big brother who couldn't. Let's do it for George. That is the brother of George Floyd, and that statement gets me just a little emotional.
Well, the Raiders were, I mean, they got worked over the coals pretty good on the social media front in terms of that tweet. And the one opinion that you needed to go to was the family of George Floyd. There's, to me, and my, and look, I might be wrong on this, but their opinion is frankly the only one that really matters on the level of offense that people should take on this tweet. If they were angry and they were upset about it, then that's an issue, because they're the ones that were most, that were affected the most by this tragedy. And if they're fine with it, then I think we should all take a page out of their book then. Look, you retweeted it. I thought it was really funny. Last night, somebody took the tweets, or the tattoos of Jordan Clarkson and put it on Joe Ingles.
Oh yeah.
And the only way I knew about it, I don't follow this individual. I should, because he puts out really great work. But the only reason I follow this individual, or that I saw it, was because Jordan Clarkson retweeted it saying, "I'm dying laughing. This is so funny. Hey, Renee Ingles, can we do this with your guy?" And Renee got in on it and had fun with it. Well, today the guy pulled the tweet down and said, "Hey, I deleted the tweet. I'm really sorry if it offended anybody out there. I was just having some fun. I apologize. It may be a sensitive issue to people out there." And apparently he got a lot of people upset at him about taking, you know, tattoos off a black man and putting it on a white man. But I also go back to Jordan Clarkson. Those are his tattoos. He saw the picture. He thought it was funny, and that's why I thought it was funny. But,
and that's all that really matters.
I think the people involved are the ones that should be the ones that should create the level of offense or not taking offense to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I really don't like social media when you're looking for an opinion for things, because you're going to get opinion from people that you don't know and that don't really matter in the grand scheme.
And that's 100% right.
You know, I actually retweeted that because he kind of looked like the Birdman.
Yeah.
And I put Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yeah, I was going to call you out on that too.
Which it was a really dorky headline. I actually didn't delete it out of because I thought that there was trouble brewing. I deleted it because it was just a dumb tweet. But the Birdman of Alcatraz I thought was kind of funny. But then I'm like, I looked at
even
it.
Even if
like,
you keep saying it, does it make it funny?
No, I don't think it. I mean, I don't think I can make it into anything that it isn't.
Yet you keep saying
the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
You're just kind of wishing it into existence.
Okay, did you see the tweet?
I did.
Did you instantly think that's just a dumb tweet?
Well, there was one tweet you put out. And I responded like, "This is your worst tweet ever," and I felt like that was a wrong thing.
Okay,
for
but
me
that
to
was
do.
But that was a really good tweet.
And so this one, I was gonna say something again, and then I'm like, "No, that last one that was probably a little too aggressive." So I'm just gonna let this one go. I'm just gonna let it slide.
Did you notice I took it down?
I did not. I just saw the original one.
I took it down. I read it 2 minutes later, and I'm like, "That's just dumb." It's dumb.
Alcatraz.
That's a dumb headline. He did look like the Birdman.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah. All right. 1248, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Let's sneak in one more.
J. Hill. Great, great, great.
J. Hill, your Big Sky Coach of the Year.
Wow.
Not surprising.
How many times is that for him now?
It's got to be, what, three?
Three at least. Very deserving outright conference champions for the first time in school history. Back-to-back-to-back conference champions. And he definitely got robbed in the seeding process for the upcoming playoff tournament that they're about to – embark on or in this weekend. Huh?
That's not true. Is it really?
I'm reading the thing on the email that our good friend Paul Drew sent. For the first time in his career, Weber State head coach Jay Hill has been named the Big Sky Conference Coach of the
Year. Holy smokes.
That's crazy.
I would have, if you would have just said it's only his second time, I would have thought you were wrong on that. Holy cow. All right.
What are we missing here?
That's a good question. But yeah, that's that's pretty interesting. I had no idea. All right, Hans and Scotty, 1250. Congratulations to Jay Hill. Your first time Big Sky Coach of the Year. All right, take a quick break. Come back. Get back to the Jazz coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time now to welcome in John Beck, the former BYU quarterback, now a QB coach.
I wanted to ask you about the intangibles because it seems like Zach Wilson really wants it. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. I do believe that Zach Wilson has a great mindset, a great work ethic. There are times I almost feel like I'm talking to my younger self. And maybe that's why Zach and I feel like we click so well and connect so well, because I can say something in a way that it's as if I'm giving my 20-year-old self advice on this end, and it works for Zach and he totally gets it. And I think that that's why this has been, you know, such a good thing, and I'm super excited for the future. I do believe that Zach Wilson does so many right things. I believe the way that he has his makeup set right now is putting him in a good place, and then he's gonna have to keep working at it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Are you ready?
Why? Don't look at me. Did you see me push a play button? I did not. We're here at Elite Works. I have no control over the board.
Lloyd, that was recorded when we were recording a break.
No, we were doing a spot. Recording a break? What are you talking about?
I think that's what he meant. He's recording a commercial, and you were back in your own studio, not on the air.
No, we were together.
On the air. I think that.
Can I get a judgment? Has code been broke?
Well, code has been broke on the show many times, because that's the same spot where I got the, hey, God didn't give me a lot to work with, but he gave me a pretty good voice, so I listened to it. And you love it when that gets played, and that was the same thing. We were cutting a tease for the show. And we were like, oh, I don't have any headphones. So I'm like, well, you don't need headphones. I have them on because I like to hear myself talk. That's it.
Okay, so going by that ruling, I think we're in the clear.
No, we're not in the clear, Lloyd.
Are
you ready?
That's worse than the pig man.
It's so much worse.
Was that an especially phlegmy day you were dealing with?
No, I just like to have a clear voice when I'm doing spots. And so Lloyd, I almost called him Rock.
Because he's so mad at him.
I almost called him my son's name. Please stop. The listener doesn't even want to hear that. That's horrible.
Okay, let's do a poll.
No, we're not doing a poll on that.
Sounds like you got like a river of sludge going like in that second Ghostbuster movie, just right through your throat, man. That's some nasty stuff going on down there.
Okay, that's enough. Are we done?
We need to open the show with that from now on.
No, we don't.
I like that. All right, you ready?
Okay. Are you ready? So for people out there that aren't real familiar how these commercials get recorded, Lloyd sits in front of all his fancy gazmos and gidgets and buttons and dials.
What are gazmos?
And gidgets.
And oh, is it gizmos and gadgets?
Woolly boogers. And
woolly I sit burgers. Down on the other side of this table with these two mics. And he designates the mic, and then you pull the mic, and you get ready to record the spot. And when you go to record a spot, you want to have a very clear-sounding voice and throat. So you clear your throat. And Lloyd just happened to be recording when I cleared my throat. And then I'm just saying to him, are you ready to now record the spot? But he obviously had recorded what I did and said.
You know, the mic's always, it's always being recorded with Lloyd.
Yeah, I've learned that. Yeah. But I feel like he's broke code on this one. Plus, that's a hideous sound. Nobody wants to hear that. That's hideous. That's disgusting.
I think there might be some truth to that. Like, that's not a pleasant sound.
Not a pleasant sound. So, Lloyd, I think it's best to shelve that forever. Thank you.
I just did a lung come out after that?
No.
Like, I'm worried about you.
You're not doing anything to help here, bud. You're not helping, bud.
All right.
Hey, by the way.
No. It seems like it's getting longer. Okay, just real quick. Sometimes, Lloyd, you'll cut out some time in between events. Was that all one long thing, or did it happen like two or three times and you just clipped them all together?
No, that's all one long thing.
Do you remember this at all?
What?
Doing that?
No.
That's a new one.
I'm done with all you. You guys, I'm done.
Lloyd, have you been doing that on every time he comes into Mike?
Guys.
No, it's all
where
one.
No, that's different. That's a different
one. Well, yeah, I slowed that one down real quick.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're good. Okay, that's unchanged right there.
All right. And away we go.
Wow. Let's bring on Scott. Let's get his thoughts on it.
Oh, hey, do you want me to mention this poll question? Because
yes, I think this is fascinating.
I did see this morning, I think it was DJ was talking about resting guys and, I don't know, trying to keep the one spot. And then somebody weighed in and said, well, do you really think that home court is going to be that important in the postseason? I could make an argument that home court may be more important this season than any season before.
Absolutely, yes, 100%.
Because there's a really good chance if we hit herd immunity, which would be 70% vaccination or positive test here in the state of Utah, I think that arena is open 100%.
I think that's it's pretty close. Yeah, I think you're right there. If we can get to, you know, that's 70%. That's what, according to the state, if we get to 70% vaccination, we will reach herd immunity. And then I think it's just like Katie bar the door. It's wide open for arenas, for stadiums. And so that's what it's going to take to get that arena open. If we can hit 70%, then let's go. Let's roll, baby.
So I thought to myself yesterday, I'm going to put out a poll and just see where sports fans are, because you got to remember that whatever, however many listeners or followers that I've got on Twitter, they're probably sports fans. I don't think anybody's following me that's not a sports fan.
I would agree with that.
2,130 votes have come in for this. There were three options. The poll question, simple. Are you getting a COVID-19 vaccination?
Pretty simple.
The three options were got it, getting it, and not a chance. Got it came in with 66%. 66% of everybody that responded to this poll. And by the way, they're anonymous. Nobody knows who's doing what. So I'm hoping that people are honest. I think everybody's honest when they select a poll, for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Because there is no repercussion for them. 66% of the 2,128 said got it. 17% said getting it, which puts us at a total of 83%. So if we could get to 83%, I'm pretty sure that we're going to get to 100% attendance for the Jazz playoffs. And when we're talking about home court, when one court has 100% and another court has 15%, it's a massive advantage.
83%, and nobody's bugging you about a mask anymore. Your stadiums are full. Our theaters are full. Your arenas are full. Your concert halls are full. You've got, I mean, it's all back. Like, I firmly believe that. I mean, just reading into what, you know, from our local health departments and kind of the things that they're saying there, if we hit that herd immunity number, off we go. And so You know, for those that are concerned about the vaccine, I don't understand your concerns. I disagree with it, but I also understand it's your right, and that's great. But also know, if you're clamoring to get back into an arena and a stadium and a theater and all that, there's one way to get there, and that's get the vaccine.
Well, it looks like people are moving forward with that.
Yeah. I am a little worried, though, that that we've kind of hit a plateau. Like Danny Ainge, in an interview earlier today in Boston, said that he can't – his team is not at that 75% that they need to get to as a team of vaccinations that allow them to have the allow them to lessen their COVID restrictions. Their team, they're members of that team that do not want to get the vaccine. And so they can't get to that 75%. And he says they're not the only team in the NBA dealing with that. And I don't know if it's bad information. I don't know what it is. And you mentioned, you know, the black community is very hesitant on the vaccinations. And, you know, you go back in our history, and I can understand that to a certain extent. And so I don't know what we need to get there, but there's, you know, look, there's high-level NBA players that are that are not getting the vaccine. But they're also keeping themselves to having full, you know, the ability to do essentially whatever they want. Because the NBA, once you get to that, I think it's 75% of vaccination on a team, then all of your restrictions, a good chunk of those restrictions are lifted on what a team can and cannot do.
Well, I have a lot of hope for this state. I feel like this state's done extremely well. And, Scotty, I'm pretty impressed by the process of it all. It's a pretty incredible process, you know, putting that many vaccinations out. We're at 1 billion vaccinations worldwide now.
Yeah.
First shot minimum. I looked yesterday. It was like 987 million.
Yeah. As a state, I think we're at 1.6, 1.7. At least one shot.
So I'm very encouraged. I'm encouraged by people, and I'm encouraged that we'll get back in the arena. And by the way, you know, everybody out there has to make their own decision. And I want you to understand, I do my best as an individual to understand people's reasoning and decisions. I really do. I do my best to do that. Not only to understand it, but try to, my best to respect it. But I will tell you that I am impressed by the way this state is handling it.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that too, by the way. As we're live down here at Elite Works. All you have to do is come on by and say hi, and we'd love to get you taken care of. But better yet, all you have to do is call. You go to the website, go to EliteWorks.com. Call whatever you want. We'll get you squared away. If your website stinks, it's time to go. Time to get it fixed.
Think about this. You're a phone call away from having that website fixed that your aunt put together for you on a trade because you needed it. She needed, a wedding cake. And you're like, well, if I get you a wedding cake, will you then make me a website? Like, Scotty, you got to run into a lot of that.
Oh, we do. I mean, but to really break it down to the simple, I mean, all of us grew up watching Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
We are the Vanna White of websites, okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah. You want it to look perfect. That's what we do here at EliteWorks.
So you make it like Vanna.
We make it perfect like Vanna.
844-523-2777. You get your Vanna White website for free on a rebuild. So if you've got a current, if you have an existing website, EliteWorks is going to take all that information, but they're going to put it on the newest, latest, and greatest software, the top-end technology. And they're going to give you all the plugins and access to plugins so you can do email marketing or text marketing. Yep. You can do e-commerce. You can buy and sell off the website, all those things.
100%, Hans. Our platform is so good, and we've created it here. It's much like a WordPress or a Wix that has an architect out there to build the websites. And that's what we have. We're the only one of the few website companies in the United States that has even created this or done that. And it's right here in Lehigh, Utah. Great technology, and we can absolutely help your business out reach that next level of acquiring customers and processing orders and doing things that you need to, you know, as a business owner.
All you have to do is call and get set up. There's nothing that any other web developer out there can do that you guys can't do.
Oh, of course. I mean, there could be something really crazy or something, but, you know, for the most part, 100% we could do what they need.
And the great thing, too, is if you just sit down and say, okay, this is what I need. I need it to do this and this and this. And you guys are like, all right, we're going to find it. If we can't find it, we'll build it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what's really impressive about all of this.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that people request and developers. And so we have a great dev staff here. And there's no question, you're right, Scotty, is we've had a lot of requirements. And there's just times where every single software platform out there is not going to have everything every client needs.
Yeah.
And it's great because we have one of the best programmers here, Kyle, and he will build that for you.
Let me ask you one more thing, too. If you've got a website and you guys are rebuilding it and you're doing it for free, and that's awesome, is there going to be when you sign off on it? And by the way, you don't pay anything until you say, that's what I want. I love it. It looks great.
Correct.
But let's say you sign off on it. It's great. And then is there going to be like a span of 4 or 5 days where that website's down while you transition it to the new site?
No, it's a great question, Scotty. It's no. If you have a current existing website, we'll build the opposite website at the exact same time. And then what we'll do is when your new site is ready to go live, we'll put that live and then deactivate. You can deactivate.
So there's no downtime?
No.
When do the monthly payments start?
The monthly payments.
For the hosting fee.
For the hosting fee, it's as low as $25. And what we want to do is get you started on that when you're satisfied with the product.
So after the site is built?
That is correct.
Really?
Yeah.
So not a payment until the site is built?
That is correct.
I mean, what do you have to lose out there?
And
what
no,
I would ask people.
And no, to do that, you sign people up for like, what, 2-3 year contract?
Actually, we sign for a 25-year contract, and then their oldest child. No, we have no contracts here.
Month to month.
And you can cancel at any time, and we have live support, because obviously you're not that great at fixing a website, so you know, we'll help you and make sure that you have success doing it.
Wow.
It's all right here at EliteWorks. Again, go to EliteWorks.com. That's EliteWorks.com.
844-523-2777. Give them a call.
It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.